What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
It's about them seeing themselves with new eyes. Like, it's like you peel back that layer of self-consciousness and like all this doubt and stuff. Like, I think we're so hard on ourselves. Like, sometimes someone will say to me, oh, I don't really like that angle because I don't like my nose. And I'll be like, I don't even know what you're saying. Like, I don't even see it with my eyes. And when you give that ability to someone to have that love and compassion for themselves, and then we do the photography, something changes for them, and they, like, the photos actually look the same, but they see them differently.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation with Paula Owen. She is a South African-born international award-winning photographer, mother of two, who not only photographs, but also has a not-for-profit in Uganda, helping villages have access to clean water. She also has heard a calling in her life and is finally answering it. She can hear, see things, and she calls these messages from God about the person in front of her. I am so excited about this conversation. I had the pleasure of meeting Paula at a workshop over the summer, and she really tapped into things she could not have known about me, things I'd never told anyone. So I'm so grateful for her friendship, and I am so excited for her to share her gift with the world and with you today. So without further ado, here is Paula.
Hello.
Welcome.
What an intro.
So tell us who you are and what you're passionate about.
Oh, well, you already said who I am, but I've always been passionate about helping people. And I think it's just slightly shifting now to give people the opportunity to see themselves with love and compassion. And I think that those things kind of merge quite well in my life, given the fact that I have an NGO. Photography, obviously, we're just saying, such a visual thing. And I just finally feel like I'm kind of settling into probably who I'm meant to be, I guess.
I love that. I love you hit the nail on the head, because I think that's something that not just photographers, but really women and humans, we really have a hard time with self-compassion and self-love. And I know that, like, we've talked in previous about how that's something that you're trying to help unpack for your clients and help them kind of see how amazing they are, and you tap into that. So can you share a little bit about the gift you have and how you sort of realized that you had it?
So I'd say that it all began when I was quite little, but I didn't really understand what was really happening for me. And because I grew up in such a conservative home, it was not really something that was even allowed, I guess, or talked about. But when I was in university, so I used to paint, like that's how I got into photography. I used to paint all the time. I used to paint portraits. So I take photos and then paint from them. And I was painting one night and I heard this voice in my head. Like I knew it wasn't my voice. It was definitely thoughts that I hadn't had before. And this voice was telling me that I needed to give Darren, this guy that was in my university, money for running shoes, like $100 for running shoes. It was very specific. And I was like, forget about that. Like I don't even have $100 like for running shoes. Like I'm not going to give him $100. It was almost like I was arguing with somebody.
Yeah.
And so I was like, finally, I was like, okay, fine. I'm kind of curious to know if this is just me losing my mind or if it's something that I should really follow through. So I took money out and the next day, and I put in an envelope and I gave it to him. And I said, this was for running shoes because it was such a specific thing. And I really wanted to actually run away after I gave it to him. But then I kind of walked away and he came up to me and said, what happened? Like, can you tell me? And I said, well, I don't know. I just heard this voice last night telling me to give you money for running shoes. And he was like, what time do you think? And I said, I don't know, around 9. And he was like, around 9, I was praying, saying that I wanted to get fit, but I didn't have any money for running shoes. And I was like, are you kidding? And it was like exactly what he was asking for is the voice that I heard to give it to him. And then it kind of evolved from there into almost seeing parts of a person's body. Like they almost kind of yell at me. Like it doesn't make sense when I say that, but it's like, I can't stop staring at something about somebody, or I feel it in my stomach, or I feel it in my back. Or, and then if I used to have to touch it, and then I would get all these same kind of like words and pictures in my mind. And if I said it to the person, even though it sounded insane to me, it's exactly what the person is going through and what they needed to hear. And I've kind of allowed myself to just really sit in it now, where I can be in a room and if someone allows me, I can almost just hear by myself. And sometimes I've noticed that I will be in a room and I will have a stomach ache, for example. And then I'll be like, oh, is it your stomach? And then it is your stomach. It's not anything actually to do with my stomach. I mean, if we talk about it, I will be able to figure out for you what's actually the root of that thing. And sometimes it's the most simple, simple little thing. And that's the thing that's been the most astounding for me, is that it's not these huge life-changing things that we have to do. And a lot of it I've noticed lately is about forgiveness.
Yeah.
I've really come to a point of noticing this sort of theme, especially in this summer. Most people that I have spoken to, it's something to do with forgiving somebody else, or definitely even forgiving yourself for allowing yourself to even be in that situation. Like I spoke to someone recently who unfortunately was raped, and it was actually nothing to do with the person. It was that she was so mad at herself that she had allowed her, didn't yell loud enough, didn't do all the things that she has told herself. And it was all came down to for her to forgive that little girl, like that young person. And once we talked about it, it was like all made sense for her. But it's so interesting to me that it's not these massive, massive shifts. It's just tiny little things, but they seem to make a huge difference for people.
I think that's so fascinating, because you and I, we stayed up late just chatting in my car, having this incredible conversation. It's one of my favorite probably conversations of my whole life. You're so right about forgiveness and how the body keeps it inside. Like it doesn't let go, and it manifests into these aches and pains that we keep with us. And I, for certain, have noticed that, especially, and it's funny because you mentioned stomach, because it's always me and my stomach, and my stomach is always, I know, you're like, Lisa, and your stomach again. It's always my stomach. And it's hilarious because I've been recently diagnosed with like leaky gut. And so we're like trying to work all these things to help me just with my stomach issues, because I do have a ton of stomach issues.
Yeah. So I love that you just, you're like, Lisa, it's your stomach. You know that, right? It's always your stomach. So funny. I love it. Now, can you share a little bit how you are using this intuition and your insight really to intuitively work with your photography clients?
Yeah. So that's been like kind of a new area of my life because I was kind of scared to even speak about this other part of me. It seemed so scary and foreign, and I had to really come to terms with the fact that I am me and I'm good. Like, I am innately a good person. And so anything that is coming to me and through me has to be in itself good. Like, I just don't have that in myself. And I think that once I kind of realized that I'm just this vessel for whatever needs to be said and be okay with being that, then I've kind of settled into that. And then I've always had this photography side of myself, and I didn't quite know how to put, like, I was thinking, like, do I start a website where I can talk to people? And but then I also didn't want to be fit into a box of being a psychic or a medium or
totally.
That doesn't also sit with me. Like, I'm like, I don't know where I am in this whole thing. So actually it kind of happened organically in that I was at a retreat. I spent some time with some woman on this one day, and it just happened that they had signed up for headshots the next day. So we did this sort of like deep inner work together. And then the next day we did headshots. And all of them said how the experience was completely different because of day one. And then one woman said to me, this is what you're meant to be doing. This is what, how you should be working. Because day two photography, all of a sudden, these people just, it's about them seeing themselves with new eyes. Like, it's like you peel back that layer of self-consciousness and like all this doubt and self. Like, I think we're so hard on ourselves. Like, sometimes someone will say to me, oh, I don't really like that angle because I don't like my nose. And I'll be like, I don't even know what you're saying. Like, I don't even see it with my eyes. And when you give that ability to someone to have that love and compassion for themselves, and then we do the photography, something changes for them, and they, like, the photos actually look the same, but they see them differently.
Yeah. That's how they perceive themselves. I love that so much.
Yeah. It's this perception. So I've now been doing this workshop where you come and on day one, we do some, it's like a whole cycle that I really believe in. So it's almost like EMDR a little bit. So we do some movement, we journal, and then at the end of that, I spend some time with each person one-on-one. And it's always profound to me that what needs to be said seems to happen for the person. And then they come back next day. We do hair and makeup. We do photography. And so far, the reception has just been amazing. So I really do think that I'm on the journey that I guess I'm meant to have been on.
I loved this so much because I was just like, oh my gosh, Paula, when you told me, and I was like the workshop and the photography, I was like, you are going to be huge. Like, this is going to be incredible because it's so unique and it's something that we so need, is to be able to like witness ourselves and to see our inner beauty. Yeah, I'm so excited about this journey for you. I'm like your biggest fan.
I'm excited for other people's journeys too. Like, I get excited for to see people see themselves. Like, that to me is like, oh
yeah.
Like, what a gift to, I didn't know that I had that gift, but now that I kind of see it, I'm like, oh, okay.
What's interesting is, so when we were talking in the summer and you were talking about, so because you can kind of pinpoint on a certain age of someone, maybe when a specific trauma happened or just something that, you know, when things changed for them, and maybe when they lost their confidence, when they just something you were able to really pick up on it. And for me, you picked up when I was about 5 years old, and I ended up, so for the past, since I saw you in June, I've had on my lock screen a picture of me at 5 years old, just to remember that sweet girl and to give her love.
Yeah.
So it's like those little things that, like those little nuggets that you may not even realize that impact a person's life, that you shared with me that I was just like, I have to tell Paula because this really has made such a difference, just looking at myself with love and compassion.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And it's so interesting because a lot of the times it is something that happened and when you're little and it's something so small at some points, but it carries through. And I feel like you just need to have like a flashlight shone on that little thing for you. And then you can go, oh, I get it. I was stuck there. Or I need to just really be kinder to that little girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe just all she needs is a little bit of love. Lots of love. So you mentioned that you can feel things in your body, on ailments and emotional traumas people may have. Now, can you share how you're learning more to tap into that and how you're using that to help others? Because that must be tricky when it comes to like medical stuff and you're like, I don't know what to say.
I guess the thing is that I have learned to just listen. So it's about, it actually has nothing really, if I hyperanalyze it, it doesn't make any sense for me. So because it really isn't my memories or my body. So the more I've learned to just trust whatever's coming in and what I need to say out, it makes sense for you. So I have really learned to just trust that process that it's got nothing. Because sometimes I'll sit there and even sometimes I will think, ooh, I think I know what that means. But I actually have no idea.
Like, I don't know.
Because the person will be like, oh my goodness, yes, I do know what you're talking about because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, really? That's got nothing to do. Because it's not my history or my trauma. And I have my own trauma and I have my own background. So it's very easy for me to put a stamp on it for myself. And sometimes the most outrageous things mean something. Like I remember this one time that I saw a dead face in water, like kind of like up, like facing face up, but I knew that the person was dead. Like I knew it. And I was like, I am not talking to this person about this dead face in the water and everything. And it was all about this, like the emotion of this person feeling like they were going to drown. And they, everything was in their shoulder. Like everything was like this, like not like almost like the shoulder was locked. When I just said it, the person had lost their spouse. And it was all their grief. And they did feel like they were drowning. Like they literally were like, and she's now shared with me that every time her shoulder starts to have that like locked up feeling, she'll sit there and go, okay, what's going on with my grief today? So she's like now has a space for it. She can sit in it for a little bit and be like, oh, I'm not doing so great today. Like it's showing up for me today.
Wow. I love that because it creates that self-healing that she's able to just identify it and work through it and not be like saying, hey, Paula, I need help. Hey, Paula. You know what I mean? Like you're giving her some tools to work through it too.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of what is said for the person that needs to hear it is about, like I said, forgiveness or just being kinder to yourself. And in that kindness, you start to heal, like, and you start to go, oh, okay, I am not as broken as I feel that I should be. Because we are actually magnificent. We have magnificent bodies too, right? We can heal ourselves. Like I've seen so many incredible things happen. And I mean, even for example, you with your stomach, like you know that your stomach has to do with your childhood and to do with your relationship. So if your stomach is coming up, there's something right now in your marriage, I can just, you know, if I can say it, it's turning up for you again.
Yeah. 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 So true. It's funny because this is so silly, but it's not because it was just, it felt like a sucker punch. My husband didn't say good morning to me this morning. And it bothers me when he doesn't. Like it really, like, and I've told him this many times.
Yeah.
But he's like, and I know he was helping my son with his homework. Like, I know there's reasons behind it, but it's that little inner child that's like, why are you ignoring me? And it hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that was this morning in my stomach. You nailed it.
No tummy. But for you, you know, like, okay, my tummy is feeling like this because I feel, I think you have like an abandonment problem,
yeah,
like
issue. I do.
Like this feeling of abandonment. And maybe that's why your gut is leaking. Like, does it, you know what I mean? It's like, you're not able to hold it in because you want to, like, you want to be loved so hard that you just almost.
I perform. I try so hard to be loved.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, right?
Yeah.
You put all your different hats on all the whole time, and how it's so important for you, I think, to just be authentically Lisa. Because when you stand in who you actually are, all these other things will fall away because you're a beautiful human being. You don't need to have these other faces.
Mm, thank you, friend.
I do love you.
I love you too. Oh, dear. All right. So I'm going to get our train on back a little back on track. Can you, so we talked a little bit about the experience that you create for your clients and a little bit of the trajectory that you're wanting to go with your gift. So where do you see this playing out? How are you going to be, and what are you going to be doing with your photography business? Are you going to be opening up more workshops? What are you going to do?
So I've already planned. I'm going to be going to Toronto in January for another workshop. And then I really want to do one in BC in February. So I will be putting out information for that. And I feel like there's something really neat that happens when a group gets together. I used to think that maybe I could just do it one-on-one, but the last time I did it in a group, the feedback that I got back was that even the women who didn't know each other, they formed this bond with each other. And I was like, oh, even that is special in itself. So day two is, yeah, it's your own branding, photography, and pictures. But at the same time, even if you don't want to do branding for photography, even if you just got 5 pictures of yourself, like feeling confident and good, that's all you really need out of that. But there's something that happens with being together and forming community. So I do feel like from now on, I don't really want to, I would like it to always be in a 5 to 10
yeah
group.
I love that. So can you share a little bit on how you're overcoming fear to share your gift with the world?
I think that the fear part has been the hardest part for me because, like I mentioned before, my upbringing, and I even went to the church. I even said to them, like, because I grew up in the church, and I was like, what do you think is happening here? And the guy was not very kind. And I was like, had to sit in it for myself. And also question myself as to where am I at? And then I realized, like, no, this is good. And so overcoming that fear and just speaking it, and also realizing that I don't need to put myself in a box as a psychic or a medium or all these things that don't resonate with me, really does actually make me feel less fearful. Because I think some people in my life thought that, oh, maybe I'm going to go off a dark, deep path. And I was like, oh, I don't really see that for myself. Like, my husband was like, are you going to become a witch now? And I was like, what? I was like, I don't see that for myself. But I guess in the beginning, it was a bit scary, right? But I do think that we all have amazing intuition. So at the same time, I don't think that it's so special. I just think that I listen. So I wonder if more people could, you know, just like hear more. I just think that there's something, I wonder sometimes about the whole like barren thing. If I hadn't listened and gone and given him $100, that would have just gone away. It's like you get these like, because it's such a
like,
small,
it's like little nudges. It's just these little yeah, nudges. And you know, it's funny because I get them too a little bit. And I have a friend who, she's deep into spirituality stuff, and she's like, these are your guides, these are your angels or your guides, and they're just sending you these whispers. And it's usually when I'm driving, and it's usually like don't take that route or take that route.
Yeah.
And I used to like ignore it. And now there's been just so many times I've been stuck in traffic or there's been an accident or this or that, or that I always just listen to it.
And I think I 100% think it's exactly the same thing. And exactly what you just said, whisper. It is a whisper. It's like, it's such a, we're so loud in our own heads. And it's like this tiny, tiny little quiet voice. And I think that when we start to listen to it and tap into it, it gets just happier and bolder for some reason. Like in my head now, it's almost like, maybe I'm starting to sound a little bit like I have a two-tone personality. I do have my own voice, and then I have this other voice, and I know that it's not mine. And so I'm very comfortable with it now.
I love that. I love that. So we talked a little bit about tapping into learning how to tap into our own intuitive gifts. So would you say, like, is there a certain technique, or it's just like get quiet and listen? Like, what's your advice to really tapping into your own intuition?
I feel that you have to maybe take a little bit of risk in the fact that if, say, for example, you hear that voice saying, okay, take the left instead of the right, and you take it and it ends up being a better route. The more you do that, the more you're getting confirmation that what you're hearing is correct. So if it comes down to, like, for example, my husband and I were in South Africa once, and there was this guy sitting on the side of the road. And the voice in my head told me that I should go and give him food. And so I went back into my house and I started packing up a bag full of like canned food and just a whole bunch of like stuff. And Jeff was like, what are you doing? That guy isn't even begging. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're mental right now. I was like, I don't know. I'm just listening. And I went up to him with his bag and I said, here you go. And he said, I am so hungry and tired that I don't even have energy to ask for food. So yes, he wasn't asking, but I heard it. So maybe if someone hears that little voice and it seems kind of ridiculous, but you listen to it and you give into it, and that person gives you the feedback that you needed to hear, that, oh, wow, thank you so much. I needed to hear that today, whatever it is. I think that's how that intuition part becomes knowledge. Like, it's like, okay, I am no longer just feeling it. I know it.
This is such a juicy conversation. Love it. So we're going to switch a little bit of gears, and I got going to send you into the lightning round. You ready for that?
All right, let's go.
What are three things you want to be remembered for?
Being kind, being generous, and being funny. I feel like I'm not as funny as I used to be, but I really want to be more funny.
I love it. What do you like to cook the most?
At the moment, tacos, because my whole family eats them. I hate cooking, and then everyone's like, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's like one meal that I'm like, yes, everyone's going to be happy today.
Yeah, love it. What's the last thing you did for yourself as an indulgence?
Oh, I have been... sounds crazy, but I have been cold plunging every day for the last 14 days.
Ooh, like Wim Hof style.
Yeah. And it's the best thing because it takes time out of my day. So it is an indulgence to me. And I just love the way I feel.
Love it. So do you have like your own cold plunge pool? Do you go somewhere?
No, I've just been going to the river near my house.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, okay. This is what I really need. I feel like the very first time I tried it, I honestly felt like I had a concrete block sitting on my chest. And I was like, I want to get out of this. But there's something about sitting in your suffering a little bit and then like working through it. I was like, oh, I can do this. Like, and it's such a, it goes with all these things that we're talking about. It's just like breaking through. And So I said to my husband, I'm going to just carry on doing it until I don't want to.
I love that. Yeah. Until it gets too cold.
Who knows? It might be tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I was drying it in the shower, just like turning the shower like just cold. And I'm like, I am such a baby. Like, I've got to.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, I want to.
No, can't do it. Back to hot.
I think shower would be harder for some reason.
I think because you can just jump out. Like, yeah. Really, like, you can't, you're not immersed in it.
Yeah.
So what did you want to be when you grew up?
Ooh, I wanted to be a judge.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I really wanted to be a judge. And Jeff, my husband, always says, well, you became one. You're the judge and jury of this family.
That's funny.
I grew up in a really not a very easy childhood. And I think that I felt like injustice. And it seemed to be the only job that seemed to kind of like
have fairness. Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to be fair.
Yeah. Love that. What's the song that lifts you up when you're down?
Ooh, any 80s song. Anything. Probably mostly Tainted Love, but I'd say, but anything from the 80s just takes me back to just being carefree, I guess. Like, it's such a stage of our lives. If you're in your 40s, if you're not in your 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's The Final Countdown. Like, yeah. Seriously, I will like blast that on the way to work like every day.
Oh, so fun. Okay, I'm gonna put that on. That's amazing.
Do you have any personal projects going on right now? And what is it, if you do?
I don't really feel like, well, photography-wise, no. I'm just busy with, you know, we all know this time of the year, this season is just hectically crazy. I'd say probably me trying to work on my workshops and my crazy cold plunging. Maybe I'm more on the spiritual like journey of trying to figure out who I am a little bit more. Who am I going to be when I'm big?
Right. I know. And it's always changing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I like it because it makes you stay young in a way because you never really haven't figured it out yet.
Nope. Who am I going to be today? Yeah. Today. Me and my masks.
Putting them on.
What do you wish more photographers knew?
I think that it's okay to make mistakes, that you learn from them, you know, like when you break your SD card or you forget to save something, you're not going to do that again. You're not. And it's, you know, I felt like starting out that there was so much pressure, and there is pressure. Let's be honest, but mistakes are really important too. So you have to be kinder to yourself and your mistakes.
Yeah, when we expect ourselves to be perfect, like it's just, there's no perfect person.
No. And yeah, there's just something really more, a little bit more freeing when you make a mistake and you're like, well, I guess I learned that one the hard way.
Yep. Or again. What makes your soul light up?
Uganda and my children. And I think when I see people being compassionate and kind to themselves, like when I have said something to them and I see it in themselves that they get it and it's something that they need to hear, I'm like, wow, because it's so not from me. So then I just feel like, wow, this is so exciting that I get to be part of this journey for somebody.
What has been the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
Ooh. So I think to be top of mind, I heard someone once say, and I thought it was such an interesting analogy. She said that she had bought this beautiful dress the summer before, and she loved the dress, but she put it in her closet. And then this summer she needed to like a dress for an outing, and she went and bought a new dress. And she didn't not love the dress in the closet. It was just that she hadn't seen it for a while. So, and she said that it was the same with business. If you are not top of mind, it's like, it's not because someone doesn't love your work. It's just maybe that you're not seeing you enough.
Mm. What a great perception. I love that.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. Yeah. I love that analogy so much because it really made me like, oh, I'm not, if someone didn't hire me, it's not because they think I'm terrible or they don't like my work. It's probably just because I'm being lazy.
Right. I'm posting on social or Insta for 2 months.
Let's be honest. It's hard to be always on it, but even in your small community, you know, doing things, and it's not always necessarily maybe have to be photography related. You know, it's about, like, for me, like I want to volunteer, I want to do other things. So I'm hoping that when people hear my name, it's not always necessarily photography related, but at the same time, maybe people think about me, they'll be like, oh, I need a photographer. Oh yeah, who's that girl we heard about, you know?
Love it. What advice do you have for someone who's just starting out?
Take your business retreat.
It was a good one.
Because the thing is that photography, yes, you have to take a good photo. You have to know how to edit it. But man, I wish that I knew more, had known more like business stuff. It's a lot about business and running a business. And so I would say definitely get more business knowledge under your belt. Because we all start out because we all want to be creative and we're a little bit like woohoo and out there. And then you're like, shit, I got to, how do I price this? What, how? Like,
I know, right? And it's so funny because it's even like when you, it's like for the longest time, I was telling how much I was charging to my worth. Like, I'm like, well, I wouldn't pay that for myself. And then like, it's just like, I'm undervaluing and undercharging and just running myself ragged. It was terrible. So I forced myself to stop. So I'm on my sabbatical. Now, where can our listeners learn more from you?
I have a website, Instagram. I'm on Instagram quite a bit. A lot of my Instagram is not, it's just more me, I guess. It's a bit of photography. Lately, it's a lot about cold plunging. So it's just my name, Paula Owen Photography.
Awesome. And when they want to get in touch with you to come to your workshop, where should I send them?
Can they email me?
Yes.
I'm old.
Yes.
Don't DM me, PM me, all these things.
Yeah, just send you an email. I love it.
Yeah.
So I love to end my interviews just with this last question, and it is, what are you curious about or artistically curious about?
I am always curious about learning more. So it doesn't actually really matter what it is. Like, I don't know if you know this about me, but I have many degrees and diplomas. I am constantly trying to learn. So at the moment, it's going through your workshop, like your business workshop, because that's where I'm at the moment. I just want to get better at business. That's where I'm more curious to kind of figure out how to like work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me today, friend.
Thank you.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you loved this conversation just as much as I did. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We'll see you next time.